Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your Carolina Panthers.
Hey, yeah, relax. Yeah, take a deep breath.
Oh yeah, I'm hot. I'm
if you really upset, bomb on me so I can go inside. Okay. You got me?
Yeah.
Like, loosen a tooth.
Yeah.
Okay?
No.
I won't press no charges. You can even play the whole season. No game suspension, none of that. All right?
Yeah.
I may even give you some money. All right? No, I don't want to make you laugh. Okay?
Cat scratch fever.
There's nothing here, baby.
Cat scratch fever.
I can't quit now. I keep my focus, man. I keep my focus. We're gonna find out how far we can push ourselves.
Good evening, Panther fans. Welcome to another episode of Cat Scratch Radio. This is Jackson. I'll be your host for yet again another episode. And we are fresh off of the first weekend of training camp. So got plenty to talk about. Sorry if you're getting a little started there a little late. But I do see I got some people out on the call. But let's see, you know, mainly going to talk training camp. We'll go around the horn, see who we got. So, let's see, I got somebody out in Greensboro area, and then I got, let's see, that's a no talk. See who I got in here already. So it looks like I got Bobby. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, man, what's going on?
Jack. Some of the same old stuff. Yeah, man. So did you make it to training camp?
No, I had to do it via the post and Twitter and Joe Person, Jonathan Jones, and all the Twitter. Fine Twitter folks out there.
I have to admit, they're doing a much better job of covering camp these days. You know, when I first started going back in 07, or I guess it was 08 actually, was my first one. Actually, I think it was 07. You know, the beat writers really weren't covering training camp in the detail they are now, you know, constantly tweeting all the highlights throughout. And so, you know, they do a good job of covering. You'll see, you know, what, three or four of them hitting on the same, you know, highlights and whatnot. So,
yeah, I mean,
you know, I think we're getting good stuff out of them. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, the highlight plays of the day, you know, they let you know pretty fast, you know, when they happen and what's going on. I guess the thing I'm just looking at is, and I'm just asking questions tonight because I don't, you know, I don't know a whole lot not being up there. But this defensive end thing with Addison and Alexander seems to be kind of intriguing. What have you heard about that?
It's my feeling that Frank Alexander is looking like the starter so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Addison he's a smaller guy, more of a speed rusher. He's more of the situational pass. He's probably out of the four of them vying for that job. He's the least likely to win it just because he's not really an every down defensive end. He's more of our edge rushing specialist. You know, third down and long type of thing. So, you know, Wes Horton is kind of the incumbent. You know, I think I'm not sure how much more upside Wes Horton has. You know, he's okay, but he didn't really notch a lot of stats last year. Not that that's everything, but I think they, you know, Frank Alexander looks more like a three down defensive end, and you know, and then Coney Ealy kind of right behind him. That's my thought. I think that's the way it's going to shake out.
Yeah,
and
it sounds
then,
like
you know, it'll be interesting to see what we do on third and long. You know, we used to put Hart, you know, rotate a defensive end in the defensive tackle. You know, we've put Kawan short at defensive end. Yeah, we've done different things up front, and that'll be interesting to see how, you know, whoever wins that spot, if they follow kind of the play calling or pattern that Greg Hardy did.
Yeah. And I think that defensive end story is kind of weaved into the Michael Orr story, right? I mean, it kind of seemed like it was a couple of days there where, you know, it was all about what's Michael Orr looking like.
He looked good on the first day I was there. On the second day, he looked to be having trouble with keeping the edge, you know, protecting the edge. Addison and some of those guys were getting around him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, again, it's early in camp. You know.
So what was a highlight you saw? What was something that you saw that really kind of you remember?
I was probably most impressed with Ted Ginn.
Really?
Yeah, he just is so fast. And he was really stretching the field. And he was hauling in those deep passes. If the pass was there, he was catching it.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked that. And there was one in particular where I thought Cam, you know, when Cam let it loose, I was like, oh, he's overthrown him. You know, but he put enough loft under it that Ginn ran right under it. And, my gosh, the defensive back was probably 10 yards behind him.
Yeah.
It took him that bad, yeah. So he looked good. And then second would be definitely Kelvin Benjamin. He made a couple really nice catches. And he actually, you know, he's starting to make stuff look easy. You know, and that's when, you know, the light's really coming on. I mean, he had a pass probably 30 yards downfield that, he timed it and high-pointed that ball just perfectly and just kind of came down and, you know, the DB kind of wrapped him up. They weren't in a mode where they were tackling, but it was play over. But, you know, it was like, oh, he just trots on back like, you know, who's going to stop that? I mean, the 6'5 guy just high-points it, goes up, you know, how far up in the air, and he's 2 feet over the defensive back, if not more.
Oh, man, isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
So how did Funchess look? Did Funchess was anything remarkable about?
He looked a little tentative at first. I got some pictures of them side by side, and, you know, he's pretty much what you expect. He looks a little thinner and just about a little shorter than – but he looked a lot – he looked real smooth, especially on the crossing patterns. That was where he kind of excelled in the route running, was running across the field. And once he caught the ball, he was really turning on the jets. But one thing I pointed out that I really liked is when they did a lot of punting drills on Sunday. There's a lot of punt protections and all that. And now that I think about it, I can understand considering we had a few blocked last year. But while that was going on, Cam and DA were in – you know, a bunch of coaches and Funchess and Benjamin, just the four of them, were over on another field, you know, running patterns in both directions, you know, taking turns, alternating, running down and outs, down in the crossing, and, you know, just the four of them, you know, working together. And to me, that was just a, you know, a huge sign that, you know, Funchess has got the spot on the outside. It's his to lose, basically. You know, and they, you know, I mean, Gettleman's pretty much said that, you know, or, you know, Rivera, when he pointed out, well, you know, about having two tall guys, he's like, well, it's what we had in San Diego, and that worked pretty good. You have to admit it did.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very apparent that those two on the outside, and it's everyone else fighting for the slot, you know, at time I heard Boykin has looked good. I didn't really see him do too much, but I know he's looked good. Philly Brown has. Yeah, and I already mentioned Ted Ginn, so it still leaves Cotchery and Bird. Still got some good players there, so I really like the depth.
Well, last question I got for you is, how about the running back, Artis Payne? What's the vibe on him out there?
He looked pretty good. It's kind of hard to say because, at times early in practice on Saturday, not so much Sunday, no, but Saturday, the running game was working regardless of who was getting the ball. I think probably the most impressive out of everyone I saw was Fozzie Whitaker. And he looks deadly catching the ball out of the backfield.
Oh, wow.
And I really love the way he practices because even though they were in full pads on Sunday, they still weren't, full on tackling, taking people to the ground. They were hitting, but still, wrap up. But, not taking people down. But Fozzie, he touches the ball. He's going to the end zone if you don't tackle him.
Wow.
I think the coaches got annoyed with him at some point because, they blow the whistle. Somebody'd wrap him up. They'd blow the whistle. He'd ping pong off some people and then run it down to the end zone every single time he touched the ball.
Wow.
I guess that's just his mentality. Give me the ball. If you're not going to tackle me, I'm going to take it to the end zone. something else I'd like to talk about that Sunday when Saturday was still in the shells, Sunday full pads finally. Again, still not fully taken down, but there's just no doubt the defense had all the excitement, had the, I don't know if momentum is a good word, but energy probably on Sunday. And it's apparent that the defense has a focus on the ball. That any time the ball hit the ground when they were running those 11-on-11 drills, it was ball, yeah. Even if it was an incomplete pass, they're jumping on the ball like it's a live ball.
Wow.
They're constantly, if somebody like Funchess, he had an out pass where I think it was Bynum or somebody, or maybe it was Tillman again, he punched the ball out after he caught it. I'm not sure it would have been a completion or not. But it was just one of those, you could see Funchess hang his head like, God, I can't believe I. But that's just part of, but anytime a defensive player did something like that, they just got tons of high fives and the defense got excited. So, it was just real apparent that they are focused on creating turnovers, hitting the ball when the other team's got it. If a ball's on the ground, you are on it. You don't wait, you don't worry about whether it's live or what the issue is. You get the ball. So,
yeah.
It was really spirited practice from that standpoint on Sunday. Of course, it all started, they did the stretches. And on Joe Person, they're all calling it doing the pit.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll immediately circle up, and the coaches just call out two players. And, they may run, they may do a little, lining up for a snap. Or just to be two of them, hey, guys, just get down and hit each other and see who can, push the other one over.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the very first one, at least on Sunday, was, and I guess this was the first one. They didn't do them on, didn't do that on Saturday, probably because they were in shells, was Darrell Williams and Steve Miller. And again, they were circling up and also hear all the chatter and pumping up and then all of a sudden it's like pop, you know, it's like, whoa, what's going on?
Wow.
You're kind of looking between the dudes. You're like, what's going on? You know, and then you see two guys come flying out of the circle, you know, falling, you know, over each other, and they, you know, they're patting Williams on his head for, you know, nailing the guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was, and it was interesting that they did three sets of that, of two on, or one on one, and it was all rookies or UDFAs that they picked, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, the guys whose juices are flowing because they got a, you know, they got a good, they got to put some good tape up there with the eyes in the sky for old Rivera to look at when he gets back. So, yeah, I like the look of Darrell Williams. He looked feisty as can be. Now, he's, you know, again, his technique may need some work. But, you know, that whole nasty demeanor that we heard about in the pre-draft, he's certainly shown it so far.
Well, great report. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds good.
I got Mitch Apple on the line. What's up, Mitch? You still there, Mitch?
You doing, guys?
What's up, man?
Not much. Just having a good day. I'm excited for training camp being underway, and just can't wait for week one of the preseason to actually see our guys in action.
It's not that far off. What is it, next Saturday, a week from Saturday? Oh. You're right. I totally forgot what day it is, so I'm going to look it up right now. Now, Mitch, you live far off, right? You haven't gone to camp.
No, I have not made it to camp. I actually live right next to where the Buffalo Bills have their training camp. So I actually was down by their training camp.
Well, speaking of the Bills, then, how far away is that from their first game? I guess that's what you're referring to, the 14th. Right, we open in Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see it. I'm hoping to be able to get it on local television instead of streaming it online as normal. I don't think the Bills' situation at quarterback is just an absolute mess. So it really should be an easy game for our defense. But it'll be a good test for our offensive line. That's what I'm looking forward to. As we all know, their defensive line is one of the best in the league. So it'll be a good test to see Turner handling some competition and actually see Orr going against some quality guys, so that I am very much looking forward to that.
That should be a good preseason test. I would agree. Let's see. I tell you, the first thing I was surprised when it showed up at camp was you can never accuse Jerry Richardson of not taking care of the fans. The area around the practice field, kind of the bowl, where, there was a good portion of it that was really just kind of a cliff with some trees up top, and it was kind of overgrown. And the area where you sit was real, they've come in and just manicured the whole thing, took down all those trees. They put in these, like, patio areas in which Lowe's and set up some outdoor furniture, flowers, trees. It was really nice, you know. So I think I see where a lot of that last donation Richardson made to the school went. So that was the first thing.
Since we're talking about that, is there anything that we can do to get them to move the fences back a couple feet? Kind of made me a little nervous. We could have KB go up for a high ball and end up falling on it or something. I don't know. In my opinion, they need to be moved back a little bit.
Well, the ones in the end zone, I guess you heard about Ginn, and I don't remember which DB it was that ended up jumping over the fence. The good news is the fence is only about 3 feet high. It's about 3.5 feet probably. So it's a low fence, you know, just meant to tell people, hey, you can't come any closer. But, you know, not obstruct your view and kind of easy for them to jump over. They could probably move it back a little bit further. I think that was about the only time they even came close to the fence. But good point, good point. Let's see, I do have the chat open. Don't see anybody out there. And it's all the callers. So I think I want to try something new tonight. But anyway, any other thoughts of, you know, we've had some roster shake up here, back into the roster. First Jonathan Martin now. Who was it that just retired? Chris Houston. Interesting. Calling out as a premium feature. We're going to see what FBW is around. Celebrity call.
Hello?
Is this the football guru, B.W. Smith?
Yes.
Hey, man, it's Jackson.
Yeah, what's up?
I catch you at a bad time?
Yeah, I'm tied up at the moment.
Oh, okay. My bad. Hey, I'll try you back a little bit.
All right.
All right, bye. Oh, well. Maybe next time. So, Bobby, what are you looking forward to?
Do what?
Anything you're, I guess we can start looking towards week one, the Bills.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, just want to kind of, you know, I always just like to see them line up, you know. See them line up and get those first few plays off. And
yeah.
Of course, you know, they're not going to run anything to, other than vanilla ice cream. But
they did run a lot of vanilla plays.
You know,
they did try several reverses. They ran a couple reverses to Ted Ginn or Philly Brown. And so I think that's probably a pretty standard play in the playbook.
Mhm. Yeah.
But I'm with you.
Yeah, and you know, just kind of get some snaps going, and I guess we'll build up to the third game, 3 of the preseason for the dress rehearsal, and you know, we got the schedule's in our favor this year. We got to take advantage of that. We got to get off to a good start. I think one thing Rivera has proven is that he can coach in December. And hopefully, I think that's one thing that we really need to continue this year. Before he came, you know, Decembers weren't that great. And so, I mean, I think that's one thing he's proven is, you know, he can get a team ready to go in December.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can do that. And, you know, the talking heads are all, you know, into Atlanta and, all, you know, Atlanta's the new team now, I guess. Not really sure why, but I don't know. It's like they just don't want to give us the respect, and I guess we're going to have to earn it this year. Yeah. And hopefully we will.
Well, going to have to start it without Star. Probably going to miss the preseason, I'll bet.
Yeah, yeah, the whole injury bug does seem to be jumping up a little bit early between Hill and Starr and Short and Houston, and better get this thing under wraps before it starts to become a real issue.
Yeah.
Well, you know, remember when Nick Fairley was drafted by the Lions, some guy on the TV said, always worried about a big fellow with a bad foot. And I just hope he's not, you know, this foot doesn't, you know, follow him.
Right.
Too much longer.
I completely agree. Somebody said it in one of the threads, and they said, let's hold him out all the way to the bye week just to be sure. And I completely agree. We've got an easy first 4 weeks. Let's hold him out. Let's make sure that he's capable to compete in the more important games. Let's make sure he's there for the postseason. If he sits out 2 months but then ends up contributing, that'll be worth it. The worst thing in the world is going to be to rush him back right now.
Yeah, that's the truth. I totally agree with that. We can't let him, this thing turn chronic. It'll be bad. We need that stop up the middle.
Yeah, he's kind of hard to replace. I mean, I feel like we're fairly deep up front. I do like the Nicanor kid. How do you say his name? Right, Nicanor? Shit. But anyway, so if we got a young kid in there, I think can play, and take that rotation. Oh,
yeah.
Nicanor, that's his first name. Regis. Yeah, Nicanor Regis. I like his potential. He's just a second-year kid, 330. He's a big boy. He played well last preseason, I thought. So, I think we could, do without him for a couple games. Don't want to, but I think we'd survive.
Yeah, like I said before, we just can't have him, stretching this thing out, bringing him back too early, and then you don't have him, after the bye and into the run. So,
right,
makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see a new, somebody new emerge. Last year, who was it? Norwell and Remmers. It'd be nice to have a surprise. Somebody that can play. I mean, what's going to happen at defensive back? What's that looking like? Peanut and Josh Norman, and what's going on back there? What do you guys think?
Well, I guess it is Tillman. Ben Wickery's been on the shelf so far with a hammy. So it's definitely Tillman and Norman with Melvin White coming in. I don't know if they're going to put. I doubt they'd put White in the slot. Maybe not. Or maybe Teddy Williams would be the slot guy now.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too. I love White. I think he's got a lot of potential. He could grow under Tillman, but he is not a nickel corner. He's not built to cover the slot, that's for sure.
And Coleman's been making some noise at safety, right?
Yeah, he made a really athletic play at the free safety position in camp. I mean, leapt up. It was a ball that was slightly underthrown, either Kelvin or Olsen. I was thinking it was Olsen and someone else said Kelvin, but he basically out-leapt them and made the play. It was a really nice play, too.
And you said Tillman was at the safety spot?
Coleman. I'm sorry, I meant Coleman. Kirk Coleman, right?
Yeah, that's the one I was Tillman.
Yeah. I may have said Tillman. I meant Coleman.
Might have been my mistake.
Or I may have said Coleman. It sounded like Tillman.
Yeah, I was back on the Stephen Hill. I hated seeing him get hurt. I didn't really count on him this year anyway. But he was in pain. It was tough to watch.
Well, it kind of reminded me of, back in the day when you kind of thought you had a date with this, this girl, and you thought it might work, and then finally it comes to pass that she's with some other guy, right? So it's finally over, right? I mean, it's over for him this year, so I guess we can put it, the anxiety and the anticipation, we can just put that away.
Yeah, and I just noticed that he did, we did now, we now have put him on IR. He cleared waivers, and so he's back on the team, and he will rehab, I guess. Amazing, he's only 24 years old. Kid's been through a lot.
Yeah.
Brandon Williams got put on the PUP. And I saw him and Presley, they were out there working out pretty hard on the other field. So, I don't know. I doubt they'll be on there much longer, at least Williams anyway. He looked pretty darn healthy to me. Old swole bones. Jared Boykin looked pretty good. He's a lot of tall, you know, for some reason, you know, them calling him a slot receiver and all that, and a speedster, he's still pretty tall. He's 6'2".
Mm-hmm.
He's out there. He wasn't much smaller than those other guys.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's not really that small. Now, you know, who looked small was Bird and that new receiver, Capers. They're pretty little guys.
Well, we had a post not long ago talking about how heavy we were. And I think I noticed, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, we looked small to me. The team just looked small. And now, you know, with Gettleman and the whole hog molly thing, I think we, you know, put on more weight. And who knows? I mean, I'm just wondering why Marty Herney didn't catch that. But who knows?
Yeah.
You know?
We have 21 players, 300 pounds or more. Yeah.
I completely agree with you, but I think part of that's because of our skilled positions. We've got a handful of guys that are a little bit above average for their position. Like Cam Newton's obviously a big quarterback. Kelvin Benjamin, Devin Funches, even Olsen's a little bit just on the high side. So in the secondary, almost every guy we've got starting in the secondary is at least 6 foot tall. So I think it's kind of accumulated across the board for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have a cornerback under 6 feet. 6'1", 6'2". So that's a good point, that even the positions that are normally light, we're heavy at those positions.
Yeah. Good observations. I know Frank Garcia today on WFNZ was saying, Captain Muddle is a great guy, but I don't think he's going to be able to cover Kelvin Benjamin. I mean, it was kind of one of those chuckle moments, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, news of the obvious. But like I said, like that one, he also had a really nice back shoulder catch. And they seem to be practicing that one too. So didn't really see a whole lot of back shoulder catches last year from Benjamin. But I think we'll see more of that this year, what it looked like.
Well, you got
to get your timing down on that, or you'll just throw a pick every time. And Lord knows we've seen enough of those pick sixes from Cam.
You
I think
that's
have
part of the reason we hear about Kelvin Benjamin and Funches practicing with Cam and Derek Anderson in the special team session, and we don't hear about the little guys like Cotchery and Philly going with them because they just got to work on those jump balls, as you're saying, because otherwise they're just going to be throwing picks.
Yes, yeah, so we got to get that red zone efficiency up. We were really good between the 20s, you know. But, man, you got to get it in that end zone.
Yeah. Hey, Mitch, I had to give you props, too. You cracked me up with your one-option poll at the end of your post. Your Thomas Davis
well, thank
post.
You. I've tried to throw a couple little jokes in here and there in my recent articles. Sometimes they go unnoticed. I'm glad some people noticed that. Some people, somebody got a big kick out of the dig I gave on Jimmy Graham there. That was 100% intentional, so I'm glad that went noticed.
Yeah. That's good stuff. I didn't know it would let you give a poll with one option.
Yeah, somebody said it was my style, so at least I'm consistent.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So, I think he is going to have a Pro Bowl season.
Hopefully, as a community, we can try to get him a little extra attention, and like CSR gets mentioned by Peter King, gets mentioned by Yahoo. So obviously, we are getting some attention out there. So hopefully, these articles will get shared, and everybody will contribute to them, and it'll be something to bring a little extra attention to TD and show him how important he is to our entire community.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised to see Peter King come see us so early. At least Coach Devane DeHaven gave him something to talk about, you know, other than how he thinks we're probably not going to go into the off season go into the postseason. I don't think he ever has too much good to say about us.
No, he hadn't ever seemed to be a believer. Just like Calvert has always been a cam downer.
Bucky Brooks is one that usually never favors us. Every now and again, he might write something good about us. But, let's see. A lot of good comments here recently on the blog. So let's see. I got another person in here. All right, we got a new caller on the line. Been holding patiently about 8 minutes here. Area code 770-910. You're on the call if you care to chime in. Now's the time.
Hey, what's up, Jackson?
What's up, man? Who's this?
This is Kaiser down in Atlanta.
Hey, what's up, Kaiser? Oh, wait, I do have your number in here. I looked right over it.
I'm just in here cooking, listening to you guys, and have some of what's going on with training camp this week. A few things I found interesting. I don't know if anybody saw Frank Alexander's interview, and I know it's just lip service as far as I'm concerned until he proves that he's going to stay out of trouble. But with so much being on the line, I think he might have a pretty good year. And I'm rooting for him because, you know, he's one of our guys. But I did see with his interview, it did seem like that he had some contrition as far as the mistakes that he's made. And I don't think we'll have the same types of problems from him as far as the drug concerns goes anymore. So I'm just rooting for Frank. It looks like he's doing okay so far. So I don't know if that's him or if that's an indictment on our line, but we'll see.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it's an indictment on our line at all because he played well last year before the suspension. You know,
right,
Rivera
exactly.
was basically calling him the player of the preseason.
Right.
So there's no reason to believe he can't repeat that since he, you know, had most of a season to get, you know, well, had a heck of a preseason. But he didn't get 12 games? Was it four?
Right.
Played the last four games, maybe?
Yeah. He's a key piece because if he can even halfway duplicate what we were getting from Hardy, that back four will look tons better than it was last year, especially in the beginning of last year, especially with guys like Coleman possibly getting reps who's known to get interception and Peanut Tillman roaming around. If we can get any type of production close to Hardy from Alexander or even a duo of Alexander and Ealy, then those back fours will benefit tremendously. So just hoping that plays out.
I think he missed four. I think it was four games, and then he added 10 more. And then he came back for the next to last game and didn't get a jersey and played in the very last game. And then played in the playoff game, or the two playoff games. That's what it is. Yeah. So he played in the season finale and then the playoffs. And I think he played pretty well, I believe. So, you know, he's got the size, strength, and you know, all the physical tools to be another. I mean, he's practically a clone of Greg Hardy, really.
Yeah.
The way he's built and everything. So, just got to put it together. Keep your nose clean. I guess that's the part that you're wondering about in his interview was, you know, saying he's staying out of trouble?
Well, yeah, he was basically saying, referring to his mistakes and saying how his daughters are getting older and he didn't want the classmates saying, hey, your dad, why is he on drugs all the time type stuff? So he just, you know, saying, but it's basically saying talking ain't going to do it. He got to get out there and prove, you know, because he kind of related it to the fact of, it's kind of like if I tell my daughters don't do something and they do it again, they say, well, I'm not going to do it again. And it's like, nah, you got to prove it to me that you're not going to do it again. I'm not just going to take your word for it anymore. So he kind of put himself under that same light of how he knows that the coaching staff and general manager and everybody is looking at him to come out and prove it. Don't talk about it anymore. Prove it.
Yeah.
Which was good to hear because it seemed like a lot of the guys gave a lot of good sound bites and were really open. Him, Ted Ginn, had a lot of open dialogue with the media. So that was cool to see, too.
Completely agree. Mitch, I see you're back in, man. What happened to you?
I'm on my cell phone, and I just hit the wrong button. I appreciate getting that back in. Because actually, I did have a thought about Ted Ginn. That was, at least in my recent memory, that was the biggest interview that we've had access to with Ted Ginn, and it kind of allowed me to learn a little bit more about him and just, I don't know, it just being able to hear somebody speak for an extended period of time, I feel like you get to know him a little bit better than a one-minute interview or a little burb, and I really liked enjoying that piece of Ginn, so that was a good piece. I really enjoyed it.
And was that the one where he talked about you know, he was chasing a paycheck going to Arizona, but it wasn't really, you know, good for his family. And, you know, he's happy to be back in Carolina. It's where he seems to fit.
That was the interview. And as I said, it allowed us to learn a little bit about him. And it's also good just hearing from so many different angles that they do really appreciate this atmosphere. Because I know for a little while there, the entire community was worried about the Dave Gettleman effect of Steve Smith and possibly pushing out Wharton and Gross, and everybody was a little bit worried there. So, especially in the past year, it's very refreshing to hear from so many different angles how much they value the atmosphere, and it really helps calm the situation and some of the worry of Dave Gettleman.
Good point. Because I was worried myself. We had quite, you know, a couple guys that were the core of the team for such a long time just up and they were gone. Between Gross, you know, and Smitty, you know, those were some big names for us. All right. Well, trying to think who else I enjoyed watching. Of course, Quan Short sat out. But he's not.
I haven't heard much about Trey Boston, and I heard that, I believe in the last practice, that Coleman and Harper were the starting safeties, which means that Boston wasn't. So does Boston look like he could possibly lose his starting spot? Has he looked good? Because I was hoping for a Coleman-Boston combination, not a Coleman-Harper combination. I don't think anybody was hoping for that.
I wouldn't say he's lost it yet. I did watch the safeties a good bit. When I was down in the end zone area, they were down there practicing, and Boston was kind of taking a leadership role in the group. So, like I said, now Coleman did make a hell of a play on the ball, and you know he does look like a player. So, if anything, we've got some solid depth back there. I'm not sure who's going to win it. But I think you're right in that it's Coleman and Boston battling for that free safety spot. They seem to really like Harper on the field. Robert Lester looked pretty good. You know, but he's still just going to be a backup at strong safety, kind of in the box safety. Colin Jones played well. You could tell he's been around a little while. He's really a seasoned veteran back there. But, yeah, very impressive Fozzie Whitaker. Jordan Todman, he was seemed bigger guy than I was expecting. He's a little thicker. The Brandon Ware, the UDFA, didn't really see too much of him. A little bit of cap too, Artis Payne. But didn't really see him run enough for me to be able to say whether put an estimate on how much I like him or think he's going to make the roster. I mean, I think he probably is going to make the roster, but just didn't really see him enough. I guess that's about it. I've covered everyone. Of course, we were there when Stephen Hill went down. They carted him off, but yeah, it didn't look good. Hey, as much pain as he was in, I really thought maybe he had broken his leg, which probably would have been a better result. A lot of times dudes will blow out their ACLs and still walk around on it and not realize it's that bad off. Charles Johnson looked good. I mean, you know, 9-year veteran. You know, he should, but yeah, I tell you, he's got that rip move down. Just grabbing linemen and tossing them around. Yeah, you know. Let's see. I guess still a week or ways from. Is anyone going to Fan Fest this weekend? Guess you're not, Mitch. But didn't lose you guys, did I? Lost somebody. Okay, that's the no talk.
Hello.
336775.
Hello, guys. Hello.
Who is this? Hello, yeah, man. What's your name?
Catastrophe.
Catastrophe. All right.
Yeah. So you can hear me fine.
Yeah, man. I can put a name Good next deal. To a number now.
There you go. Yeah, I've called several times and Most people don't answer my call because it seems like a bill collector.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't either in that case.
Yeah.
So, what do you, what's on your mind, man? You've been to TC, going to preseason, just, what's up?
Well, actually, I had a couple things I want to say. Thank you for bringing back the CSR radio show. You know, I drive a truck, so, you know, I listen to it at night, you know, when you guys do it every Tuesday night. So glad you brought it back. That's first and foremost.
Cool.
The second thing is the Twitter photo that you put up of the CSR fans that had,
yeah.
I'm assuming it was you and Goose Creek, and I'm assuming I've already got who Goose Creek is. I don't know, maybe we could do
he's
like a
little... He actually didn't make that pack. He didn't, that picture around the table, he's not in that one, actually. He was sitting at the table, but he apparently had leaned back at the, you know, so it's kind of the anti-photobomb. I don't, you know, I didn't even notice he wasn't in it until he pointed it out. But you can see him towards the back is BW on the left. Panther Blue is the guy on the very left who's kind of cut in half. And then my son,
the one with
BW,
the longer hair.
And his wife, yeah. And so the guy, the big guy back to the right at the end, that's Scrant.
Okay.
And then then to him, again, going around, you know, clockwise, is Panster. Of course, his son was there, and he's not on the blog. Yep, so...
That's
I'm not
pretty
sure
cool.
How I miss
it's cool because, you know, every time, you know, you've heard somebody on the radio, you try to put a face to a name. And
yeah.
I don't know. It's pretty cool. You know, we see that kind of stuff. But the third thing I was going to say was Mitch Apple brought it up a little bit earlier about Buffalo's defense. They're legit. I mean, I don't think anybody could argue that. And for us to play them, you know, in our first preseason game, we're not going to see a lot. You know, but I think it'll give our offensive line a pretty decent test.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm pretty anxious
their
to see
defense
how that goes.
Is definitely
they
legit.
They are legit. Yeah.
Well, I see BW's on the line. Hey, man, I'm sorry to spring that on you. Hey, what's up? I just got a hair up my ass, that's all. So I apologize.
Yeah. It's no
Thanks
problem.
For calling in.
No problem. I was tied up at the moment. I figured you wanted to talk to me because of my infinite knowledge.
Yes. Yes, you know, you weren't there for Sunday, so didn't really get to debrief you as well as after, you know, afterwards. I was like, man, I didn't really talk to BW too much about what other things we saw. But I guess ultimately, you know, Brad Norman... Fourth overall net punting average in 2013, fell to 18th last year. Now, based on what you saw, is he going to be back this year? Is he going to be back top five?
I mean, obviously, what he was doing was he had a bad year last year on purpose because this year he wants to be most improved player and league MVP in the same year because nobody's ever done that. So it's all a setup.
All right, so those couple of shank punts we saw on Saturday, that's just shaking off the off-season rust, right?
Oh, no, those weren't shanks. He was purposely – he was working on his short game.
I got you, the directional punting.
Yeah, yeah, that's all it was. They weren't shanks. He doesn't shank anything. He always punts it exactly where he wants it to go.
He is awesome. The bomb squad. So, I don't know. What are you worried about Starr's injury?
Yeah, to be honest, I am. Because, I mean, camp has only been going on for, 4 days now, and he's already got a stress reaction in his foot that he injured once already, and he's a 300-pounder. So, you know, that's something to definitely be worried about. Hopefully the 3 weeks off will prevent anything serious, but, you know, there's definitely a cause for concern.
Let's just be safe and make it 3 months.
I'm with you.
I mean, I'm perfectly fine keeping him out all preseason and then keeping him out the first couple of weeks of the year. Cause, and I don't remember who said this. I saw it today. I would rather him be 100% for three-fourths of the season than 75% for the whole season. So, you know, however long it takes for him to be 100% is what they should do.
Yeah. Yeah, because he didn't look too healthy in that walking boot.
No.
And I don't know, I had flashes of Make Kimio Ate. When he was walking around with a limp like that, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
So, knock on wood, don't want that to happen here. Knock on my table, my damn dog barks. Oh, man. Yep. So what else, B-Dub? You're still winging it without kids, right?
Yeah, man. Great.
Don't lie. Y'all both have looked at each other. You and Steph have already said, God, it's awful quiet around here.
Yeah, it is. It is very quiet. I've thought about a couple of times just starting some random shit fight with her just so it won't be boring.
It always sounds like a good idea, and then by the time Friday rolls around, you're ready to get them back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's usually the way it goes.
So, you know, today was the off day. I guess we gave the veterans some time off on Monday. Of course, we just lost Chris Hewson. I'm not sure that was a real big loss. I think it was more of a hoping.
I think he might not have even made the team anyway, to be honest. I mean, he might have squeezed one of the last spots on the 53, but I don't know if he would have even made the team.
Yeah, interesting that he just went ahead and retired.
I mean,
whereas,
I don't
know if you noticed, but Stephen Hill is on IR now.
Yeah, I saw that, and like we talked about on Saturday, we knew that was coming as soon as it happened. I mean, if you were there and you heard him wailing in pain, you knew that his season was over. There was, you know, they didn't even really have to do the MRI except for procedure. Because, I mean, we knew that it was over.
I do have a slight question regarding that. Since he cleared waivers, he is still officially a Carolina Panther, right? Like, we're going to be the team.
He is on injured reserve. He's a Panther for this season. He's on injured reserve, and he'll get paid. Or if they want to cut him, I think they have to go through some kind of injury settlement deal. And I said this to Scrantz while we were watching practice after it happened, and it sounds more callous than it is, but there's really no other way to say it. It's probably good for him in a way that this happened, because they were probably going to outright release him because of the marijuana paraphernalia stuff. So now, at the very least, he's going to get paid.
Yeah. I don't really have an opinion on that either way, but I do think that we're one of the best teams to try to rehabilitate an ACL injury with, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Cat Trasfy, I had to mute you there for a minute. You're creating a lot of background noise. I'll let you back in a minute, man. So, I just noticed old Max Henson's got four camp standouts. One of which is Mario Addison. He did look very fast off the edge, I have to admit. I don't know if you noticed any of that, BW, on Saturday.
Yeah, a little bit. I was paying more attention to the special teams and the offense because I was mesmerized by Cam Newton to Ted Ginn.
Yeah, that's who impressed me the most. I kind of said that at the beginning of the show that, you know, he made the most impressive plays.
Mm-hmm.
Stretching the field, catching the ball all over the place. Showing good hands, you know, because when he came out of Ohio State in his first couple of years in Miami, he wasn't, you know, really known for having great hands.
No,
he's looked pretty good.
Carolina's the only place he ever has good hands. He's terrible everywhere else he goes. I don't know what it is about being in Carolina, but he's good when he's here.
Yeah. I think Kurt Coleman's going to be a nice addition, though. Whether he starts or not, he's going to be, you know, a good backup. If not, if he doesn't start, but he looks just
something
as good as Trey Boston.
Something interesting that I noticed was they had Kurt Coleman and Roman Harper playing together.
Yeah.
They had Roman Harper playing free safety and Coleman playing strong safety. I thought that was unusual. I don't know if that was just Ron trying something different or if that's a sign of what he's going to do, you know, during the season. But I thought it was weird to see that.
Yeah. Yep. Completely agree. Distracted. My other dog just got kicked out of the bedroom. Now he's looking at me like, what'd I do? Pissed off mama, that's what you did. So, Cap, Artis Payne. I didn't really get a good look at him.
I was just about to say something about him. Yeah, who's going to be the starting running back when Jonathan Stewart goes down? Because I don't care if he plays 15 games this season, he's going to miss at least one game. So you read my mind. Who's going to be the number two back?
Right now, it looks like Fozzie Whitaker. And I really like his attitude and the way he conducts himself in practice. I mean, the kid has come to play. So, yeah, you know, I probably didn't get much of a read on Shaq Thompson. Out of all the rookies, you know, they were running a lot of little stunt drills. On Sunday, and he was in that mix, but you know, out of the rookies, I thought Devin Funchess looked pretty good. A little tentative on Saturday, but much stronger on Sunday. So I think we're going to love that pick when it's all said and done, and you know, maybe a year from now we'll be looking back and saying that was a great pick. The FBW Sunday, we probably spent half the practice down in the end zone because they spent, I would say, 90% of Sunday's practice was on that backfield.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of annoying because, you know, it's just so far off. You want to kind of get up high on that hill and then, hell, I just don't have the greatest eyes anymore trying to see all the numbers. So we were down in that end zone for a good bit. and it was still shady down there because it was a morning practice. So I had some pictures down there, watched some wide receiver drills and some safety drills. It was a big, lot of drills on Sunday. And not, I really, usually when they get into pads, towards the end of practice, they'll have an 11-on-11 and they'll kind of go live, you know, like really try to mix it up. So they didn't do that, though. Didn't do any, you know, make Graham Gano hit a kick under pressure. Actually, I don't think Gano kicked at all on Sunday.
Yeah, that's definitely weird.
Yeah.
Considering the injury situation, I'll take anything they do to limit contact. Typically, I love a tough team, but wow, we for being 1 week into the season, we've experienced a lot of injuries already. So anything to reduce that number.
Yeah. I definitely want to get Short and Ben Wickery back on the field. Hopefully they'll be back soon. But, yep, Star is going to be out for a little while. I guess that's really the main significant one. I tell you, Brandon Williams didn't look too banged up over there on the PUP list. He was working out hard.
I'm not – he got a hamstring issue or something?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure they ever really said. Anybody know anything about Paul Browning?
He's a wide receiver. That's all I know.
Just some more training camp meat. I mean, I'd hate to have to be a wide receiver to walk into this group.
Yeah, he's pretty much just there to run the drills.
Yeah.
I would almost venture to guarantee that he's going to be cut the first round that they cut.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really understand why they do the two cuts. Because
I don't understand it either. It would make more sense to cut it from 90 to 53. Just do it once.
Right.
No.
Why, you know, cut down to 75 and then, what, 3 days later make the final cut?
Yeah, it's less than a week. I mean, that's the part I don't understand. I could understand it if, you know, after the first or second preseason game, they had to cut down to 75, and then, like, 2 weeks later, they had to cut down to 53. That would make some sense. But, yeah, you're right. Within a week, they have to cut twice, and I don't understand it.
Yeah. Of course, somebody finally – I never understood why on game day you have six players inactive. That never – but I don't know, was it Scrantz or somebody that kind of actually gave me an explanation that made sense?
Yeah,
about trying to level the playing field if you have dinged up players.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of makes sense then. Assuming that you wouldn't have more than six dinged up players on your roster at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For the first time in a long time. It's going to be very difficult to get down to that 53. I honestly feel like for the first time I can honestly remember, we have a very deep roster. It's going to be hard to cut down the defensive backs. It's going to be hard to cut down the linebackers. Even with Stephen Hill out, it's going to be a little difficult to cut down the receivers. We have a lot of depth this year. Like, Todman is at this point an afterthought, and he's a decent kick returner. He's a decent backup running back, and almost nobody even counts him to make the roster.
Yeah. It's going to be real tough for him, yeah, to make the roster. It really is.
Somebody's going to have to get hurt for him to make the roster.
Yeah. Yep, because I Fozzie Whitaker to me is a lock.
You got Jonathan Stewart, you got Fozzie Whitaker, you got Ware, and you've got Tolbert, and then I think they're going to keep Lee Ward. So, you know, where else are you going to put him?
Yep, and you got Artis Payne.
And Cameron Artis Payne, too. So that's your six right there.
Yeah. So, Brandon Ware, he can end up on the practice squad.
I don't think so. I don't think he would last on the practice squad. I think he would be picked up.
Could be.
Especially when you've got somebody
get a lot
like
of attrition.
Houston. You know, Houston is going to lose Arian Foster, so they're going to be scouring the waiver wire for running backs.
Yeah.
Hell, they
How bad was
pick
his injury? I just actually saw that earlier. How bad is it?
I'm not sure of how bad it is, at least based on recent reports. But the last thing I saw was earlier this afternoon that he's probably going to have surgery, and he could miss up to the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, which would mean that we wouldn't have to face him because we play Houston week two.
Yeah. Well, whatever it takes, we'll take the W.
Yeah.
The thought of J.J. Watt on our offensive line, and I don't care where he lines up, honestly.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So he prefers to line up on the – he's going to be on the right tackle, right? Isn't that his normal spot? Is he
– They've specifically said on multiple occasions that he moves around wherever he pleases. And that's kind of one of the things that sets him aside from Luke is we all believe in Luke. We all know he's a great, great, great player. And I'm not knocking Luke in any way, shape, or form. But we're all sitting here lamenting – playing this one player in week two, knowing he's going to give our team a fit. And I don't think there are any teams out there saying quite the same thing about Luke. They're like, oh, we're going to play Luke. We got to stay away from the middle of the field. We're going to play J.J. Watt, and he's going to tear our offensive line apart, and it's going to be a battle.
Yeah, J.J. Watt's the best player in the NFL. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
He is that one guy that you dread playing every week because you don't know what to do.
Yep.
You can't put in an extra lineman. You can't put in a running back. You can't put in an extra fullback. You can't – I mean, you basically can't stop the guy. And then even worse, Houston puts him on in a tight end in their goal line package, and he scores touchdowns. So he really is – an unstoppable machine, because not only does he destroy your quarterback and give your defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator nightmares, he scores freaking touchdowns.
Yeah.
He had, what, 3, 4, 5 receiving touchdowns last year? He's a defensive end.
Yeah, easily.
He has more touchdowns than the entire Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver corps, and he's a defensive end.
Yep. On those IDP leagues where you pick individual defensive players, it's like he's practically a top 10 pick.
Yeah. Easily.
You know, not just the first defensive player to go off the board, but just, you know, first 20 players altogether, which is kind of unheard of for defensive players. But gosh, when they can put touchdowns on the board, too.
In an IDP league, if I had anywhere from the 6th to 9th pick in the first round, I would pick J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I wouldn't pick him over somebody like Aaron Rodgers or, you know, Adrian Peterson or somebody like that. But I would pick J.J. Watt first after those guys are gone. Because, like you said, he will score touchdown on offense. He will score on defense. He will rack up sacks, tackles, fumbles, all that stuff. You know, you could probably win your league if you got J.J. Watt in an IDP league.
It's funny you mentioned that, because that made me think of the article that said, what quarterback is worth more than J.J. Watt, or who would you start with when you were building a franchise? And I just thought it was absolutely fantastic that J.J. Watt came in between Cam Newton and Matt Ryan. So even though Matt Ryan's a good quarterback, they'd still take J.J. Watt. But instead of J.J. Watt, they'd still take Cam Newton. So as much hate as we get in the national media, that was a fantastic differential right there between Cam Newton and Matt Ryan. That made me very happy to see that. At least somebody says that Cam Newton is worth more than this future Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I love Cam Newton, but there is no way I would pick Cam Newton before J.J. Watt.
Wow!
I wouldn't do it. There's only one quarterback in the NFL that I would pick before J.J. Watt, and that's Aaron Rodgers. And the only reason I wouldn't pick Peyton Manning or Tom Brady is because their age. Now, if we were talking a hypothetical situation where they automatically are in their prime, then, yeah, I would pick Peyton Manning. But, you know, when you factor in everything, the only quarterback I would take ahead of J.J. Watt is Aaron Rodgers.
That's a good argument right there, but for some reason, just personally, I got to include Phillip Rivers, Big Ben, and even trying not to be a homer, Cam Newton sort of makes the cut. I think we're really going to see what Cam's made out of this year. He's finally got an average offense in every position put around him, so I think those quarterbacks at least enter the conversation, but you definitely took your homer hat off on that one, so I'll give you some respect.
Oh, yeah, I don't even have a homer hat. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, Jackson knows.
yeah, I like that. That was pretty funny, yeah. BW doesn't spare the Panthers anything that they don't deserve. Yeah. But, yeah. Well, we are winding down around 10 minutes. So let's see if we've hit any topics we've missed. Guess around the NFL. I don't want to talk about Tom Brady, even though I want to go on an epic rant about it.
I just want it to be over.
Yeah.
Serve your suspension and move on. You got caught.
Agreed. Just pay it and move on. Like,
man up, pay it and move on. You got caught. You won the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter. They're not going to take the Lombardi trophy away from you.
Completely agreed. He's one of the best quarterbacks. He won the Super Bowl. Like,
it wouldn't have mattered even if they did or did not deflate the ball. They beat the shit out of Indianapolis. It had nothing to do with the result of the game. Just pay your dues and move on. Because I don't care who you are. If you told me you are going to get suspended for the first four games of next season, but you're going to win the Super Bowl this year, there's not a quarterback or a coach in the entire league that would not take that deal in a minute.
Yep.
Especially when you factor in that the Patriots are playing in the AFC East, a division that they have owned for the last decade. They're going to continue to own it. The only team right now that might have a shot at being anything competitive in that division is Miami, because Buffalo's going to take a couple of years until they can get a quarterback, and the Jets are the Jets. They're always going to be the Jets. So you're in basically a two-team division and your system is going to allow you to at least go 2-2 for those four games, because they went 11-5 with Matt Castle as their quarterback. So don't tell me that you can't at least scrape by for four games.
They do have some tough games coming up. I will give them that. Like, they got Steelers in week one.
But still, it's the first four games of the year. You got caught. You won the Super Bowl. Shut up. Take your punishment. There are 31 other teams who would love to be in your position right now.
Yeah.
And the Patriot fans are the same way. If you're a Patriots fan, shut up. Your team won the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
shut up.
Nobody's talking about taking that from you.
Nobody's talking
just,
about taking that away. You've got your Super Bowl 49 T-shirts. Wear them. Be happy.
Exactly.
I almost think they're making this incident, like, more memorable because they're dragging it out so long. Like, if you just accepted the punishment and moved on, it wouldn't be a talking point right now. We would not be discussing it right now if you had just taken a suspension to move on. And at this point, it's going to last, and our memory is longer, and
it's going to
skew him longer just because he's making a big deal.
It's not even that. If Tom Brady would have given Roger Goodell his cell phone messages when he asked for them, instead of dicking around about it and then destroying his phone, which apparently Brady isn't very smart because it's 2015. You can recover text messages without a cell phone. All you need is his phone number. You don't need his phone.
Yeah.
It's called the cloud. I mean, all of that crap is in the cloud. He can easily – the NFL can get
if he would let it. Yeah.
If he would let it.
But
all he has to do is agree. If he would have done that, Roger Goodell would have said, you know, Tom Brady is the biggest marketable star we've got in the NFL. He just won the Super Bowl. It's the New England Patriots, probably the third highest television market in our entire league. I'm not going to screw that up. Your suspension has been reduced. You're only suspended for two games. And everybody would have been okay. He's not being suspended for deflating the balls. He's being suspended for refusing to cooperate with the NFL.
Yep.
Excuse my language. He's just being suspended for being a dickhead. I'm sorry. That's the worst I'll say. If that's too much, I apologize. That's basically what it boils down to, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, come on, you're the greatest.
Yeah.
You got caught cheating. As you said, accept the punishment, move on.
I mean, if this was a criminal trial, that would be obstruction of justice.
Exactly.
So,
that's essentially what this is.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's kind of the way Goodell viewed it is, you know, how do I know there isn't a smoking gun? Because you threw the evidence away. But anyway. And you know what? Next Tuesday, Hard Knocks starts. Speaking of J.J. Watt, that should be interesting.
So pumped. So excited.
Yeah, I'm usually good for an episode or two. They kind of bore me after a while when it's not my team.
But if an interesting enough team were to do it, I would probably watch it. I would get HBO to watch it, but I don't care enough about the Texans.
Yeah.
If the Texans and the Jets don't do it for you, I don't know who's going to do it other than the Panthers. God knows we won't tune in for the Saints. That'll be the one team I boycott. So
I don't know. I would watch it if it were the Saints. I would be kind of interested in seeing if they investigate where Sean Payton gets his Vicodin from.
I knew that was coming.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
I knew that was coming.
Like you see some mysterious, shady, Walter White-looking dude showing up at practice, you know, he's probably not the intern defensive coordinator. They might want to check his pockets.
Okay, so indirectly talking off of that, even though Gillette is a locker room menace, we're still relatively happy he didn't sign with an NFC South team, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good enough player. I'm glad he went to Washington. But see, what he's going to do, exact same thing he did before. He's going to focus this year. He's going to have a Pro Bowl year. He's going to sign another long-term deal with a dumb team well enough to pay him money, and then he's going to do the exact same thing he did when he was in New Orleans. Some people just do not learn, and I think he's probably going to be the same way.
I
think it's safe to say that he'll never be a Carolina Panther.
He'll fit right in Washington. Or he'll flush out in a hurry. Oh, why is it always the biggest dudes who just still feel the need to use a belt?
Yeah, did you guys watch that video? It was ridiculous. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was. It really was. So, well. Well, fellas, down to our last thoughts. Any thoughts on the Buffalo game? Heading up to Buffalo week one, a week from, let's see, we said it was the 14th, so that would be, that's a Friday game, ain't it?
Yeah, it's Friday, this next Friday, not this coming Friday, but next Friday.
Yeah. How about that? Inside 2 weeks of Panthers on the field, buttonheads.
Yep, the Panthers that we all know will be on the field for about 5 minutes, and then it'll be guys who are trying to avoid having to go back to Bilo.
Yep.
Well, for those 5 minutes, I'm going to be looking at just two players. I'm going to be looking at Orr to see if he can just compete. I'm going to be looking at Turner to see if he is as good as they say he is and if he can actually kind of put a whooping on these defensive tackles. So those are going to be my two people, and then they could be the two biggest people of the year to affect the team and the offense. So Orr and Turner are the guys to keep an eye on in that game.
Yeah. Are you talking about Trey Turner at right guard? Just because he's matched up with Marcel Darius?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I guess I wasn't very clear on that. But the Buffalo team definitely has a good duo of defensive tackles, and they've got some decent defensive ends. So we're going to see Orr match up against the ends. We're going to see Turner match up against the tackles. And those are two battles I really am looking forward to seeing.
Well, I appreciate everybody that's called in. BW, appreciate you calling me back. And
no problem.
We will do it again next week, guys.
All righty.
Y'all have a good night.
You too.
All right, bye.